Did you hear that? Did you hear that
Yeah, I
lady at
did.
all? Okay, good.
Yep.
That's good. Then we both kind of know that the recording has started, even though she has a weird noise. All right, so do you want to count to 10 for me, sir? 6.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Beautiful. That was nice, man. I could
A
really
little lingo
feel
to it. Yeah.
it. Yeah, it had a little funk to it. All right, now I got to just tweak my side and make sure I'm not going over the top. What is my top? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, we're good. So it's not that all that different. All right, so college football fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show podcast. I'm Chris, he's Marshall, and we're here to banter back and forth about college football. What else are we going to talk about? It's called the College Ball Show. And by the way, if you didn't know, the college football regular season, let me say that again, the regular season is the best season of all of them. Hands down, nothing you can say about it. Oh, that's weird. It really kind of messed up. Anyway, we are back for another week. Obviously, we got a lot to talk about, and we're using something else right now to record, so that's why I'm kind of hesitant in the start, and I kind of paused there for a second, just making sure everything is working correctly. But if this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, you know, we break down the week that was, which obviously is week 9. And week 9 pretty much proved, like, it doesn't need proof. It's been around for 150 years. But like I said, the regular season of the college football season is the best out of all the sports. And a third week in a row, it's just proven it. You know, we had another unbeaten team go town, this time Oklahoma, which Oklahoma was gunning. They looked really great for the season. Kansas State beat them 48-41. And you know how we talked about that defense? Is the Sooner defense improved? Well, I think we got our answer there. They did make a valiant run back. But like I said, we're going to break down everything from LSU to Auburn. That was a really tight game. Michigan actually showed way up. There's a variety of matchups, whether it's you know, getting beat. Oregon almost got beat. They ended up you know, just sneaking by. Texas got beat. So there was a variety of upsets, not just the big one inside the top 25. So we'll definitely take a look at, you know, the week that was week 9. Then we're going to look towards week 10. And there's a variety of what you call marquee matchups. You got number 6 Florida against number 8 Georgia. I'm really interested in that one. This is kind of outside the box here. Number 15 unbeaten SMU. They're 8-0, if you can believe it, going against Memphis at number 24. They're 7-1, and they're a favorite at home. So we're going to talk about that. And then some, like I said, games flying under the radar. We definitely go, and we call it betting line banter. We'll go against the spread, or we'll pick up an upset, you know, of the week, or just kind of say, you know, I think I'd take the points there type stuff too. So we'll preview and predict, and like I said, talk betting, which is something that we do on the podcast a whole lot. So, and we also have something that we call the crafty pick of the week. It's the crafty, crappy pick of the week, right? So my co-host will just completely blindly give me a game, the worst game he can find on the schedule, and I pick it. And by the way, this season, we're doing pretty damn good. In fact, the last couple of seasons we've done good, but especially these last two. So, you know, keep an eye out for that. If this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, it streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/RopeItUpRadio. So it streams live. It archives as well. It's basically the headquarters. But if you know, it's under the Rope-A-Dope Radio podcast is the College Ball Show. So you can find it anywhere, whether it's, you know, iTunes, aka Apple Podcasts, Player FM, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, in a variety of, you know, areas, including we're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. And I was going to say including iHeartRadio, because the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network has, you know, a nice little app for that as well. Speaking of apps, you can use TuneIn or Spotify with Siri or Alexa to find the show as well, either at the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast or the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. While you're at it, head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. It's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu. That's betnow.eu. And they have a promo code TGT, TGT as in the Grueling Truth. And one more thing to get to, you know, it's fall, fully fall now, especially weather-wise up here in Minnesota. But sports is just, I mean, now the NBA just started. College basketball is about to start. As we know, the World Series is wrapping up here, hopefully not tonight. But the point is, whether you cut the cord and you're not happy or you're thinking about cutting the cord, give a try to AT&T TV Now. Okay? It's something I personally use. It's a cable streaming. It's very inexpensive. They do have a seven-day free trial. There's no annual contracts. The plans start as low as $50 a month, HBO included. Stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. That's AT&T TV Now. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host and see how he's doing. What's going on, Marshall? How the heck are you, buddy?
I'm pretty good. Another crazy day of teaching. But, you know, when you teach high school kids, there are some days where you just are thankful you like the kids. And, you know, just you never know what's going to happen. But on to sports. You know,
it seems like there's a lot more in there that you don't want to cover, and that's fair. But I do want to off-air listen to some of that.
It's nothing too crazy, but when you put, you know, you just have those classes where it's like the perfect storm of kids where you have like eight different personalities in one, and, you know, it just leads to some days where you just, you know, shake your head and wonder what you're doing. But, you know, they're good kids. I like them.
That is true, though. That is very true, though, because sometimes the combination of people can really make a mess of it, and I know that I would have been in that combination.
Oh, it's a special group, but, you know, God bless. They're nice to me. They're just not always nice to each other. You know, but you mentioned, you know, the World Series tonight. You know, my Nationals are in. I'm praying they survive. And so with that being said, my opening comment, you know, you never know when your end is going or when your sports run is going to end. I don't know if we've ever done this much in our 8 or 9 years of shows, so probably about over 88 shows. I think we have to start with my first take being the Gophers. How row the damn boat, Chris. They took care of business. I've been following Maryland this whole year because, God, did they screw me over against Temple, and I still don't forgive them for that, for having four possessions inside the 10-yard line and not scoring a damn touchdown. But that makes the Gopher victory even sweeter, a little more payback. The Minnesota Golden Gophers lead off the College Football Podcast because they are ranked, they're 8-0, and they won 52-10. You got to enjoy the good times, Chris, because even let's say they even lose their next four games of the year and they lose a bowl game. You still at one point were 8-0, riding high. You got a bye week Penn State coming in. I am damn proud for you, sir. I believe they're probably going to be ranked in the top 15 this week or really close.
They are. They are already ranked in the top 15.
That's awesome. So let's props to your Gophers, man. That's a hell of a good team. And, you know, they're 52-10. That wasn't like a lucky win. That was a beatdown with quite a few defensive turnovers I saw at the start of the game. The defense came out hot. They had some uniforms I'd never seen them wear before. I wasn't the biggest fan of those. But I'm happy for PJ Fleck, and that's where I'll that's my first take of the day. Congrats to the Gophers.
Hey, and by the way, screw losing all the last five of the season.
I know.
Get that. But I hear you. I hear you. Like, I'm okay with 2-2 down the stretch. You know what I mean? If we end up 10-2, dude, that is a crazy season. You know what I mean? That's a crazy good season. That means we beat either Penn State or Wisconsin or Iowa, you know, if we go 2-2. So you're right, though. It is, you know, we can talk about who they've played or really maybe who they haven't played. But ever since the Big Ten season started, they're smashing people now. So when you're smashing people, you could say, oh, you know, you haven't played anybody. That's true. But at least they're handling people, unlike the first three games, you know, when they were kind of sure, they had like a vanilla playbook, but they were just screeching by and making dumb mistakes and yada, 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 that kind of stuff. But man, it is crazy. It's crazy. And here, Fleck, you know, since we got a bye week, Fleck is like hitting the ground running. Imagine PJ Fleck, we already knew could recruit, right, Marshall? Now imagine Fleck, you know, imagine Fleck with an 8-0 record to tout on the road. You know what I mean? I mean, he's bringing an oar on the road with him, probably.
Well, and you know, and you mentioned, you know, hey, you know, 8-0, you know, necessarily who they played, but that's the part of college football. A lot of teams have a crappy loss, where as a fan, you shake your head and you're like, what the hell just happened? I mean, Missouri, they were supposed to be 8-0 this year. They lost their first game to Wyoming, and they got their butt kicked by Vanderbilt after Vanderbilt got murdered by UNLV. So, yes, the Gophers haven't played maybe the schedule of Auburn or Texas A&M, so fair is fair there. But still, you haven't had a slip-up game, and you see those all the time in college football. Hell, Tennessee, I know they've had a rough year, but they lost games this year where even as a Tennessee fan, they're like, well, hell, at least we're going to be 2-0, go from there. They lost their first two. So there is something to be said for, okay, you haven't had a brutal beat, you know, but still they're taking care of business. And I think that's a step in the direction for kind of just growing that winning culture. You know, my basketball coach I work with, she told me something last year, which I never really thought about, but she's like, you know, bad habits for sport teams are just as tough to get rid of as establishing good habits. You know, when you get, you know, get used to losing games that you should or something like that, you know, it's just as difficult to get rid of a bad habit a team has as it is to keep on to a good one. And I think, you know, this year is doing that for the Gophers in years to come, building the confidence to build. And the same can be said for lots of programs, you know. It's not just the Gophers. There's a lot of schools this year whose fans
are
probably
Gophers,
excited.
It's just the Gophers. No, I'm
kidding. Well, and to kind of parallel that into it, you know, K-State. They, you know, they've had the new coach that came from NDSU where I went to college, you know, and NDSU has always, they've been a powerhouse. It's won like the past 7 out of 8 titles under, you know, D1. They're the FCS. You know, NDSU, he was always kind of a ground and pound, fundamentally smart football. And nowadays, that's really not how much football goes. Everyone wants to do the spread. They want to call the plays at the line of scrimmage, have the offense turn around and look. He's old school, like, I want to run the ball and just smack you in the mouth and play football that way. And, you know, Bill Snyder's been there for, you know, almost coaching for 38 of the past, like, 40 years or something. So for a guy like him, it's like, dude, you're not named Bill Snyder. You know, what are you going to do for our program? Like, who are you? And I think it was maybe a great combination for them to be a team that loves to pound the ball and make the game on the ground compared to what Oklahoma does, which is try to score quick. And he got a huge win for him. You know, no one thought K-State would win the title this year, and they're not going to. But, you know, as the Gophers are building up, man, for K-State, your first year on the job and you beat Oklahoma? Shit. Man, that's a huge bonus for him. Like, holy shit, this Kleiman guy might be a good coach. You know, look at what he's doing so far. Like, that was a win that's going to help him recruiting because no one, hell, they were a 23-point underdog at home. And I figured with the style, as I told you, the running against the passing is an effective idea. But to pull that win off another down the road, you know, he can go into his kid's house and say, man, you know, Jalen Hurts and Lincoln Riley, yeah, I beat those guys this year, so come play for me. Again, to go into the game a little bit more, Chris, I think the opposing ideas of how to attack was a huge bonus. Obviously, Oklahoma laid an egg somewhat, but what a massive win for another team trying to go up like your Gophers are. And way to hold on to it at the very end. We see so many times in college football where a favored team will get down and try to fight back. That onside kick, you know, it was close, but a nice hold-on victory for K-State Wildcats.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it marked, you know, the third week in a row that a top 10 team went down to an unranked team. And, man, like you said, 23.5 was the spread that Wisconsin won the week before. That was like 30.5 or something. That was the second biggest upset in the last 40 years in the Big Ten, you know, points-wise. So, yeah, it was basically, And that actually marked Kansas State the second win against a top five opponent while unranked. And the Sooners have now lost 16, have 16 losses to unranked opponents as top as a top five team. That's the fourth most in history. You have Ohio State has 18, 17 tied Notre Dame and USC. And, well, Miami's not on here because when they're top five, they don't lose. But anyway, actually they do because they got beat at the end of the season, a couple seasons back. No, so that one shocked me, and especially the way it started. Like, they started out just fine, the Sooners. You know what I mean? They're on top, you know, 17-7. And,
yeah.
And then it just went haywire. And pretty soon you look and you're like, what's the score? It's 41-23. I just couldn't believe it. And like I said, they made a nice run back. They made it really close, and it came down to what was it, an illegal touch on that? Is that what it came down to? An illegal touch on the onside kick, right?
Yeah, Oklahoma was trying to recover an onside kick, and the K-State kicker, I mean, it was a perfect bounce. But the ball barely deflected off of K-State player's knee pad, which was just before the 9 yard or before the 10 yards. And then that led to them, or excuse me, sorry.
Oklahoma.
K-State did an onside kick and it was touched before 10 yards. And they, I mean, barely, cause K-State recovered the ball. So it was a lucky angle. I didn't like it actually. The referee took literally like 7 minutes to review it. I'm all for review in college football, but that was literally one of the longest reviews I've ever seen. If you have to review a play for 7 minutes, you should probably stick with what stands on the field. Again, not that I don't want to get things right, Chris, but there comes a time frame where it's like, dude, let's play the game. Like, if you got to examine it 85 times, you're calling out, you know, too many damn, like, zoom in, zoom in, zoom in. It's like, let's just go. And I think that pissed off Lincoln Riley, and rightfully so. But yeah, they barely held on there, or Oklahoma would have had the ball on the K-State 40 with a minute 30 to go, down 7. You know, odds are pretty good. They're going to find a way to tie that baby up.
You'd think. I mean, they had momentum and everything. And, you know, the beauty of college football, well, there's a lot of beauty, right? There's some bad stuff, too, of course, as we know. Starting to get it fixed a little bit with the semi-final, you know, format and whatnot. But the beauty of college football was like, oh, there's a in-between play. Cool, we'll just review it. And it reviews in like 30 seconds, a minute tops. Like they just, nope, we got it. Now I'm noticing, especially this year, and it kind of dwindled into last year a little bit, but especially this year, I'm noticing they're taking a much longer time. And it kind of feels like the NFL now, where you're like, dude, like you said, just make the call, man. Like, one way or the other, if you can't figure it out, then just keep the call on the field, dude. Like, let's just move on, dude. We can't get to 3.5- and 4-hour football games unless it's overtime or something like that. But, yeah, that was crazy, man. And the quarterback there, was it Thompson, I think, Skylar Thompson. He had a big, big day, you know, threw for a touchdown. Also ran, or actually, I think did he run for – he had 4 rushing touchdowns, which is pretty crazy, and he wasn't even the leading rusher. They actually had a variety of – they had – the quarterback had 13 carries. They had a Brown and Gilbert split between 12 and 13. Overall, they ran for 213 yards on that defense. And, you know, Jalen Hurt did actually have a fumble. They didn't lose it. They did lose a different fumble. But other than that, like, I mean, the guy was 19 of 26, 395 and a touchdown. And then he led the team in rushing. And that's a problem, I think, that it's going to catch up to. And obviously it kind of did here, but he had 3 touchdowns on the ground and 96 yards, but they had 102 yards total. And the other running backs, I mean, one guy, Sermon, had 3 carries. The other guy, Brooks, had 3 carries. He's talking about 11 yards combined. So they're going to have to get their running. Like, usually Oklahoma just has running backs. So, and I've noticed that. It's like, okay, it's a running quarterback, but it's not in the system where you have a running quarterback. The quarterback's not always the leading rusher. You know what I mean?
I do think one thing that is tough in fairness is, like, they had the best offensive line in college football last year, and they lost almost the whole thing. And not that Lincoln Riley can't recruit, but when you are literally replacing, like, the best line in football, and I think four of the guys got drafted or went or applied for the draft, like, that's hard to do. You know, obviously yeah. Oklahoma's O-line is something I would love as a USC or Mizzou fan or a Gopher fan. You know, they're not scrubs, but you don't replace an elite line, you know, the next year. And, you know, part of it maybe is the fact that Jalen Hurts is maybe running the ball, like, and that's maybe too much of their primary focus. You know, instead of giving each running back, you know, 20 to 30 carries a game, Jalen Hurts is getting, you know, half of those or something to that effect. So maybe how it's played out a little bit could affect that overall. But, yeah, I get what you're saying, though. It is a minor issue for them.
Yeah, and that is a good point you made. But either way, you can't have your quarterback, you know, leading rushing as many times as it has. Like
no.
I said, when you have – he ran the ball 18 times. You know, that's a lot. So we'll see. But, you know, that defense failed them. It wasn't their offense, once again, really. It was their defense. And,
well,
of course, special teams, too.
For a perfect parlay into a quarterback that couldn't move the ball. Holy God, Auburn. Jesus Lord. That, it was an SEC game during the day. My dad came down to visit me, so it was an all-sport weekend. And I think my dad fell asleep during this game. I don't know if it was because he was tired or wanted to take a nap or the game bored him to death. But, man, was Auburn's offense bad. Holy cow. My upset pick was not the best of calls. That score is a little deceiving. They got kind of a late touchdown there. But for pretty much the whole game, Bo Nix did nothing. I'm not sure if LSU had a good game plan for that game, Chris, or if he really is just a true freshman still going through the bumps and the bruises, but, man, that was, like, literally LSU would try to score, punt. Auburn would be stuck in their own 10 or 20, three plays and punt, over and over and over again. And to give credit to Auburn, I bet during the game that LSU wouldn't score over 33 points, and my buddies who are a huge LSU fan thought I was bleeping insane, but it happened hitting. The LSU didn't get near even 33. Because Auburn's defense lights out. They slowed down the best offense in the country this year. I thought they played a hell of a game. The reason they gave up touchdowns was because they were dog tired. So hats off to Auburn's defense. But, man, that quarterback, if Auburn's still hoping to have a good chance, like in a big game or you know, compete for a respectable bowl or even sneak in the back door of the SEC title, that kid, Nix, had just a brutal game. The offense couldn't do anything. And on the on our preview of last week, Chris, I really thought it'd be a little more of a run-and-gun type of game. You know, Florida moved pretty good on LSU, mm-hmm. and I kind of thought Auburn would do the same, but it was a hideous performance. I don't care what the score says. That was a tip of the cap to Auburn's defense, and I know Nick made a couple of throws there late in the game, but, man, that was credit to LSU, but just an abysmal performance of offense, and the scoreboard doesn't really show you that, in my opinion. And hats off to Coach O. You beat another top 10 team. You're 8-0 against top 10 teams as a coach there, if you don't count the three losses versus Bama. Another damn win.
Well, you can't do that, though. You can't be like, they're
8-3.
They're 8-3. 8-3 is damn good, dude, against top fucking 25 teams. They're top 10 teams. That's a lot of matchups, too, against top 10 teams. Well, here's the deal, though. I mean, on the other side of it, though, you have to give Auburn – you got to at least say LSU didn't compete in the red zone well enough then. You know what I mean? Because they didn't put up points either. So they were struggling,
awesome.
Too. You
Auburn's
know what I mean?
Defense played phenomenal. 100%.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Well, and it really came down to red zone and turnovers and stuff like that because – man, when you look at it, you know, they put together 508 yards of offense to 287. They got the 321 through the air. Like I said, it was just some turnovers. They ran the ball very, very well. And, you know, this Nix, like when we say, let's clarify Nix. He's been bad pretty much all year. This isn't new. We've mentioned it a couple times now.
No.
And he had that drive against Oregon where he put it all together. Other than that, though, he's looking like a true freshman, especially in the SEC, which, you know, can be a little, you know, nasty, obviously. And I did like what I saw out of LSU's defense as well. It was a close and competitive game, though, the whole time. In fact, Auburn got up 13-10 on them. And then before you knew it, it was like, okay, well, forget it. Even though they were, what was it, 23-13 or something, I think, at one point? Something like that. Maybe 23-16. I think it's 23-13. And it just didn't feel like they could make that up. You know, it's like, nah, you're going to lose this game. But, you know, LSU did enough. They probably left some points on the field. But, I mean, is there really a debate LSU shouldn't be number one? Can you make an argument for that? I know you like LSU, but I can't make an argument not to have LSU number one.
No, I mean, the schedule they've played this year, their offensive numbers, they've done everything you can to deserve to be number one. You know, old school people could say at the start of the year, it's got to be Clemson or Bama, but if you've watched,
sure.
Clemson's not been the impressive team many thought they were, and Bama has had a good year, but they have not played the caliber of opponents LSU has. So, yeah, I don't think there's really any argument at all. To go to the team, I would say, who I think is the second best in the country, in my opinion, Ohio State offense. My God, did they smack Wisconsin. I had a feeling that would happen, but I didn't think it would be by 31 points. Holy cow. Whether Wisconsin was focused in practice or not after their upset from Illinois, it didn't really matter. I guess in fairness, 38-7. At halftime, it was 10-0, so you're maybe a little optimistic as a Badger fan. I know they came out and scored in the third quarter early, so the score was 10-7. And then Ohio State scored 28 points, and that was the end of the game. I know LSU's done all they can. I would say Ohio State's also had, not the LSU-type schedule, Chris, but man, that team is damn good. And it's so weird to say because I've hated them forever with Meyer. But now that he's gone, it is that football team is playing some damn good football and is killing about everyone they play. And their resume is looking right there with LSU right now, sir. Their offense is really good, and that defense, I think, is better than people think. Man, look out for that damn team, man. Good luck, Harbaugh, in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, now watch. This will be the year that they beat them. The Wisconsin club, you know, before that, of course, the big letdown. They were looking like, you know, they gave up, what was it, 30-some-odd points or something like that? You know, they had four shutouts. Like you said, they were very good. Now, Michigan State, we know their offensive line is having issues. They're not the team that they've been in the last 6 to 8 years. Cincinnati's a pretty good club, though. You can't rip on them. They're a good club. They got beat 42-0 against this team. So the one thing I'll say is they haven't necessarily played a difficult schedule, Cincinnati. And, you know, with Michigan State down, you did have Wisconsin, and you did have through seven games. That's not that bad. Is it eight? Yeah, eight games. So, but, you know, they still have plenty of proof. They got Penn State, and then, of course, they got Michigan. So, maybe it's not even about proving, you know, it's just about, okay, then we're just going to put it on them. Now, you know, who knows what happens when they get in the conference final against the Gophers, obviously, and they got to be sweating that one. You know, Urban Meyer's going to be like, hey, I'll come back and help you game plan, dude. Flex got it, man. But look at this, 24-9 on first downs and 9-14 on third down efficiency, dude. And you want to talk about running the ball. We know Wisconsin's built to run the ball. 34 times for 83 yards. Ohio State ran it 50 times for 264, dude. It's the first running back to go over, I think, 150 yards or something like that against Wisconsin since, you know, who, Ezekiel Elliott. Dobbins had it. Crazy day, dude. I mean, he had a 163. He also had 58 yards as far as rushing, so he had over 200 yards all-purpose. And like you said, man, they they're looking like a machine, no doubt about it. And you know, they're peaking right now, and it'll be really interesting to see how this shapes up. And you know, we talked about some of these marquee matchups. We've been kind of going through them. We're going to talk about a variety of other games, and then of course get to week 10 and whatnot. But Michigan, man, they were mad, I guess, that they, you know, got their butt kicked by a Wisconsin team we were just talking about. And Notre Dame's a good club. I thought they looked pretty good against Georgia. Now, we're going to find out just how good Georgia is. In fact, they got a game coming up this weekend that we'll talk about, Florida and Georgia. But 45-14, not to say, you know, Jim Harbaugh's seat is all of a sudden ice cold. It's still hot, but at least the temperature went down a little bit on it. They look pretty damn good in prime time, just whooping Notre Dame all across the field, man.
They finally won a big game. Like, you know, we've been talking about the past 3 years, they just don't win a big game, and finally they got it done. Holy God, I didn't know this. Michigan threw the ball for 134 yards. Shea Patterson was 6 of 12 for $100. They ran the ball 57 times for 303 yards. Dear God, I feel bad for Notre Dame's defensive line. When you run the ball 57 times, that is basically just like an FU. We're going to just run
ball,
this ball.
Dude, that's wow.
You know, I wasn't paying super close attention because I was just going insane with my team that can't hit a baseball. But I had the game on. But I didn't. 57 runs, dear Lord. That is just, yeah. Man. Wow. Wow. That's all I got to say. They ran the ball 57 times, 303 yards. That's my hot take. Credit to them. Dear Lord. Talk about getting your butt kicked in the trenches. Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, it was like the reverse of that the Badger game earlier this year. They really needed that win. And when we talk about, you know, really you got to only talk about those Ohio State games because as far as a big win, because they destroyed Penn State last year. You know what I mean? They were they had only had one loss the whole year. They beat Wisconsin last year. And so let's, you know, this is a big game for them. Just because of where Notre Dame was ranked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why we kind of call it a big game or whatever. But, man, like you said, they had it due. They were due for some kind of breakout like that. Houston is trying – well, they had a problem, you know, because the running back and quarterback aren't playing. But they've picked it up pretty well. They almost beat an undefeated SMU team who has another good challenge, and maybe that's what it was. They knew what was coming around the corner, and they had their mind on there just barely. But 34-31, that was a Thursday night game. That was definitely an entertaining game. You had Bama and Clemson rolling. Penn State rolled. Utah rolled 35-0, and Cal is just – without that starting quarterback, they're just not the same team whatsoever. Iowa got a much-needed win 20-0. Appalachian State's doing Appalachian State things, destroying the competition 30-3. But then we had some upsets as well. Almost an upset with Oregon, 37-35. They were in control of that game, a lot of it, and then you saw Washington State come storming back. They got up late, and it kind of looked like, yeah, dude, this is going to happen. It was 35-34, and they kicked a field goal basically right, you know, near the buzzer and whatnot. So that was a really, really nice win. But it was almost an upset. But then we did have upsets. TCU at home took care of the Longhorns, which they're starting to kind of unravel. I mean, not kind of. They are unraveling. 37-27, so that's a nice win. TCU, you just don't know from week to week. We've documented not just TCU, but a variety of teams that you go, oh, this week and then that week. This week, that week, which team's going to show up? Pitt's been like that. Miami's been like that as well. Then Oklahoma State visiting Iowa State, and actually Iowa State, Marshall, has been like that too. What Iowa State team is going to show up. And when they get ranked this year, they started ranked, lost a couple games. Then they weren't ranked, they started winning a couple games, got back on their good foot, got ranked, and got beat 34-27. And then this one, I'm not going to say shocker, but UCLA 42-32 beat Arizona State. And the reason why I'd even bring up shocker, not because I'm trying to bring up, you know, any kind of sexual reference or anything like that. It's because the, I mean, it was 28-7, 35-7, you know, before they started coming back. In fact, yeah, it was 35-7, right at the, they scored on a nice little drive coming out of that second half. And I'm thinking, are you serious? It's 35-7? Like, what's going on? And ASU just defensively couldn't do much. Maybe UCLA's found something offensively. The quarterback is pretty damn good. He's going to be a good quarterback. I mean, he is right now, but he's going to be a really good quarterback. In fact, those two quarterbacks are really young, and that's going to be a nice little battle for years to come in this little rivalry here. But, you know, I guess it's kind of like the same thing. Arizona State, don't get ranked, otherwise you lose. They lost 42-32. Like I said, like Oklahoma came back in the game, but couldn't quite get over the hump. Couple of upsets, no doubt about it. Any comments on that or any other items, you know, from last Saturday, sir?
I was surprised that Iowa State lost. They had, like you said, kind of got their ducks in a row. And Oklahoma State, their ducks were, like, drowning. So maybe this was a game where, like, screw it, we need to win a damn game. So maybe you got the best effort. Oklahoma State, like, their three touchdowns in the first half were, like, 180 yards combined. So they had, like, three, like, huge plays. You know, part of that's good luck, part of it's bad luck for the defense, and it's just one of those games where it's like, dude, you had a huge pass, huge pass, huge pass. Like, that's, you know, those games, when you give up those plays, are hard to win. You know, sometimes the football gods are just going against you for better or worse. And, you know, for Texas TCU, I know that it looks like an upset because you see Texas was ranked 15th and TCU wasn't, but the spread was like a pick 'em or a point or two. And I could care less about Texas, honestly. But in fairness to them, their defense keeps getting hurt and keeps getting hurt over and over again. Their defense was like hurt versus the LSU game, and it's got worse since then. So I would expect some more losses to occur for Texas because you're getting to the point where you have like fourth and fifth string guys that are playing defense, and you're just not going to have a good outcome in that situation. You know, LSU struggled to barely score points against Iowa State, and they hung 37 on Texas. And, you know, Texas was supposed to have a pretty good D, but injury after injury, I think they're just going to keep having that issue. And I suppose you got to be frustrated, Chris, as a Texas fan, because the whole, like, preseason, we'd heard how great Ellinger's supposed to be this year. And I think Ellinger is actually having a pretty good year. You just wouldn't really know it from the win-loss record because their offense is probably doing all they can, but an offense can't make up for a defense is really just beat up and dead, for a lack of better words.
That's true, because going into that Oklahoma game, and it wasn't necessarily as bad at the beginning of the year per se, you know, because remember, it was mostly they didn't have a running back. You know, they didn't have any running back, basically. And then you're right, it started falling apart on both sides. They started getting some running backs back that could actually play, and that's great and everything. And they do have a running quarterback, you know, Alger, of course, so that helps a little bit, of course. But you're right, then it started, you know, going down on the defensive end. And when your starting lineup on defense isn't some sort of top 20 defense, there's a good chance the second and third string are not going to be as good, right? So that is going to be an issue, no doubt about it. Another couple games before we start to get to Week 10, your club, USC, got a nice win on the road at Colorado. That was a back-and-forth affair, 35-31. Miami went on the road to Pittsburgh, which I didn't think they were going to be able to do, and won a grinded-out game, 16-12. Really strange game there. Illinois is on a hot streak now. They won a road game 24-6. So you know, kudos to them anyway, having fun over there. The upset of the week, Louisville over Virginia. I think it was like a 3.5 point Virginia, something like that, maybe 4.5, but I called that, and that came through with Louisville. They finally got a nice little W. Stanford, this was a good game. Stanford in Arizona, 41-35. I watched a chunk of that. Any other games that you want to talk about? Hey, Kansas, I forgot to mention this. Kansas beat Texas Tech, who seemed like they were improving to an extent too. 37-35. Kansas is putting up points. They almost beat Texas a couple months ago or a couple weeks ago. So, hey, Les Miles is starting to get things going in lonely, lonely Kansas, you know?
Yeah, I don't think people expected that, but that guy's having a hell of a year. They went and smoked Boston College. They played Texas really tight. Now they won this weekend. It'll be interesting. They got K-State this week. K-State's probably in celebration mode, and Kansas is like, oh, dude, we might actually beat you for once. That might be a fun one. We'll get to soon. Besides that, Lane Kiffin 141-3. The Fighting Owls are now 3-1 in Conference USA. My man Kiffin is getting that boat rowing. He's having fun down there in Florida with all the, I'm sure, the college women at the bars in that city. Anyways, nice job for Lane.
Don't bring in the boat row and all that. Don't bring that in, okay? Don't. That's something else. Don't give that to him, okay?
He's near the ocean, so that's why maybe he likes to go on a canoe trip every once in a while.
You're going to need more ore if you're in the ocean there, Pally.
And this is random, but shout out to San Jose State, who is 4-4 on the year. Since we've done our podcast, they've pretty much always been one of the worst five teams in college football every year. They're 4-4 this year, and they beat Army. I know this is random, but they used to be like the worst team in the country every year, and they're 4-4. So I'm not sure what has gone on in that team, but to go from being like 110 out of 115 and being 4-4, that takes a ton of hours and time for whoever those coaches are. So credit to San Jose State for being a pretty damn good team this year when you've been a laughing stock for over a decade. Credit to whoever's working their butt off there, and shout out to San Jose State Spartans on the show. They'll be our second adopted team besides the Raging Cajuns.
Nice. For a second there, I thought you said San Diego State, and I was like, no, they've had good seasons, dude. What are you talking about? No, okay, yeah, you're right. I gotcha.
What happened to my co-host?
Yeah. No, that's a good call, though. I can appreciate that, too. So as far as Week 10 is concerned, we've been spoiled with ranked versus ranked opponents in the last couple of weeks. Not that we don't have. We have two matchups like that. But, you know, sometimes these games – actually, next week, dude, so there's buys, a bunch of buys this week. The Gophers and Penn State have a bye. They're going to head, face each other November 9th, LSU and Bama are both on a bye. They're going to face each other. And this is the first time this late in the season that there was a battle of four teams all facing each other that are unbeaten, which I thought, usually doesn't happen this late or whatever during the regular season, not like, say, a conference final or whatever. And also, just to keep it Big Ten and meaningful for the Gophers anyway, Wisconsin and Iowa have a bye week, and they play next week, and that's going to – basically, whoever wins Wisconsin or Iowa, that's going to be the team that the Gophers are going to have to beat regardless of what happens against Penn State. But basically, sometimes, though, you have these big matchups and coming around the bend where you think, it's pretty mediocre – decent game. That's a good game. You kind of go through the schedule and you don't think much of it. And then all of a sudden all hell breaks loose. And to add a layer on top of it, Marshall, next Tuesday, so a week from now, that'll be the first ranking from the playoff committee. So we can throw these freaking rankings out the book. And we know when that starts to, in fact, I teased it last week on my prediction blog. And I say, generally all hell breaks, loose at that point, which we, you know, we find that happening quite often. Once we get there, we think we got it all figured out, and then all of a sudden we find out, no, we don't. And actually, I'm just making sure something. All right. Sorry. Let me see something here. Something's going on, but I got to make sure. All right. So anyway, sorry about that. So, yeah, I think we're still good. You're still there, right, sir?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, just making sure. So we got number 6 Florida going against number 8 Georgia. And my whole point to that spiel was this is the best regular season, period, of any sport. I've said it 100 times. I sound like a broken record. I don't care. So anything can pop off. We think we're going to have such a great week next week, and I think we will just because of what's on paper. But still, like, you just never know what's going to happen this week. And once we get in November, we think we get it all figured out, and then shit just unravels on us. So we got Florida at home in the swamp. They're actually a 6.5-point underdog to the number 8 Georgia Bulldogs, 7-1, 6-1. This is going to be just a grinded-out run game. Which quarterback's going to make a play or two? And right now, the way this season's going, the more inexperienced, yet I guess you could say veteran leadership, since he's 29 or whatever. No, just kidding. Trask, you know, this guy has played really, really good, and he's actually had a better season than Fromm. We know Fromm's track record against the top 5 or top 10. I know there's 6, but it's actually pretty good. He's got a couple of wins like that. How do you see this one breaking down? The over-under is 47. I think that's set pretty much accurate. How do you see this one going, man?
I got to favor Florida in this matchup just simply due to the fact that Georgia's offense has really been struggling of late. You had not, I mean, I don't care that you beat Tennessee, big deal, okay? Notre Dame's game, their offense wasn't great. I mean, it did enough. But South Carolina, Fromm was just really bad, 3 interceptions and wasted opportunities in the red zone. Versus Kentucky, the score was 0-0 at halftime. I know Georgia won 21-0, but they were supposed to, and you were at home. And Kentucky's offense really isn't existing this year after Benny Snell went pro last year and Kentucky lost their quarterback. So, you know, for the past 8 quarters of Georgia football, the offense has really had one productive quarter where you were a home favorite and you were supposed to take care of business. So I just can't pick Georgia on the road, you know, to win a game like this. I know the running game is phenomenal. Georgia has maybe some of the best running backs in the country. They seem to produce every year. But if a defense knows that you're not going to pass the ball that well, a defensive coordinator can make up some type of game plan to make your passing game have to beat them. You know, again, there's so many details and X's and O's that go to a higher level of thinking, Chris. But if the basic part is, okay, make Fromm beat us with his arm, let's stack the box, that idea has been working pretty well. And Florida has a pretty damn good defense, I would say, or maybe one of the better ones at Georgia's face. So I'd expect that, okay, Georgia, we're going to make Fromm beat you, or make Fromm beat us, and let's see if they can get it done. And I don't think that's going to be a great idea for Georgia, so we'll see if the kid can have a good game and prove some people wrong. But I would be in Florida for sure at home with the points. I'd love to get in 6.5, maybe buy a half point, get up to 7 for a touchdown, but I would be in the Gators' way.
You know, I'm right there with you, and you could look at some of their stats and kind of go back and forth with it and say, well, man, is that Florida defense as good as it's been, you know, normally? And I'd say it's pretty damn good. You know, one of Georgia has 10.6, Florida gives up 15.8, but when you look at it deeper, you could really look at, you know, LSU, juggernaut, as we know. They technically kept them under, even 42 points. They did keep them under their 50 average. But also, we know how that was a tight game. That was a very close game. They had to beat Auburn, which they ended up, you know, shutting down run-wise. And Georgia, besides Notre Dame, you know, they got beaten double overtime. South Carolina's a nice club. Steve Spurrier's not coming back anytime soon. So, I mean, they haven't really played many people, so maybe that's why their stats look like that. Now, obviously, Georgia is known to run the ball. Like you said, stack the box and all that. They're going to have to do that, obviously. But when you're running almost 237 a game, that is your best bet. In fact, man, Georgia has a better offense than I thought even. They're really balanced, 237 and 234 in the air. Wow, that's pretty impressive, actually. Both teams, I don't think you're going to be able to pass too much either, though, because both teams are giving up less than 200 apiece, which is saying something in college football. But I'm with you. I think Florida will get this done. And, I'm wondering just how much that 6.5 points is going to move before kickoff, man. I'm really wondering on that. And by the way, we kind of joke around once in a while with the Vivid Seats. Tickets as low as $13, or they're giving them out front. $128 just to get in the stadium. So it's a little bit different when we're talking SEC and we're talking about a big rivalry in the Swamp. So we're both going with Florida. Now, the other ranked versus ranked is, you know, out of the AAC. Now, the Mountain West has been legit this year and last couple of years. Overall, it's a pretty good conference. The AAC has improved as well. They kind of take turns and whatnot. Obviously, Central Florida's been pretty damn good, as we know. But Memphis is at home, ranked 24, 7-1. They're a 6-point favorite over the visiting SMU, 8-0 SMU, the Mustangs, I think it is, right?
Yeah.
They had what you could call a close call, obviously, last week, 34-31. That was that Thursday game, I believe it was. They handled Temple a lot better than I thought that they would, considering they beat TCU earlier. That's, you know, one of their biggest – well, that is their biggest victory. How do you see this one playing out? And, you know, is Memphis, who's a good club as well, are they going to kind of be like, you know, this was a great story, it's all fun and games, but we're going to beat you. Vegas knows what they're talking about. And even with the home points, you know, we're 6.5, even with the 3-point favorite there. You think Memphis is going to get this job done at home? You know, they did lose to Temple. And obviously the triangle – Team A beat Team B so they can, you know, beat C. That doesn't always work out. But how do you see this one playing out? I've only watched chunks of SMU games. I haven't watched, like, front to back.
Yeah, the biggest red flag to me, and I'm with you, Chris, for speaking of SMU, I've seen parts of games a little bit here and there, is I just don't trust Brady White, the Memphis quarterback. I just don't think the guy's that good. And in a game where you're playing a really good team, I think your quarterback has to carry you. Now, I know that Memphis's offensive numbers are 6, so some people might think that's a stupid take, but that Memphis has had a great offense for the past 5 or 6 years now, and they always seem to have very fast, skilled players. So I think that quarterback kind of enjoys the surroundings he has, and I think in a game like this, a quarterback has to make big plays. Quarterback's going to have to make big plays, so I'm leaning towards SMU simply off that. I would definitely take the 6-point spread, and I don't know. SMU's on a magical year. Obviously, it's going to be a fun game, and Memphis has college game day is going to be there, so that's huge for them recruiting. You know, they've had a pretty damn good team of late, so to get a college game day at your campus is sweet, but I'm just leaning Mustangs due to quarterback play. And I think it'll be a really fun game to watch, 6:30 on ABC.
Nice. Yeah, I'm actually going to go on the other side of that. And I'm going to side with the ESPN Football Power Index, who has them 58.5% chance, according to them. So I'm sticking with it. Tickets as low as $14 to get into Liberty Bowl Memorial Stadium.
Yeah, great, great bargain.
Yeah. Definitely, you know, definitely. But, yeah, I'm going to go on the other side of that. 70.5. I wouldn't be shocked if they go over, dude. It seems like a big number, 70.5, and it is, obviously, but I wouldn't be shocked. But I'm going to be on the other side of that. My co-host going to SMU. I'm going Memphis. I'm going the Memphis Tigers. We're going to talk about a couple other games, and then we're going to do the crappy pick of the week. And, you know, then we'll get the hell on out of here. Couple against the spread type of stuff, too. Here's an interesting one. Now, I hate to say it, but it feels like the Ducks are going to cover on the road at USC, only a 4.5-point favorite. That's one to kind of eyeball. And also, Utah traveling to Washington, and they are a 3.5-point favorite over Washington, who is 5-3. God, there was another game. I'm going to look for it really quick. But what do you think about those two games? But really, I mean, the Trojans. How do you feel about the Trojans? Can they get it done against the Ducks at home? Or, you know, is that 4.5 feel like, you know, taking candy from a baby?
Oh, man. I think that Clovis, the USC quarterback, is really having a nice year. Obviously, he got hurt his first game and came back. He's having a hell of a season. And USC really has moved the ball very well offensively. Defensively, I don't think they're quite as good as USC normally is. Defensively, I think Oregon's obviously going to test you there. And Oregon's defense is probably better than ours. So I just, man, but Oregon, geez, I'm going, there's too many crossing things of what I've learned from both teams from gambling and being a fan. I'm going to lean USC just because Oregon does seem to have problems on the road with this coach. Obviously, they're a hell of a team, and they're having a great year this year. But on the road, they're a little less of a beast of a team than they are when they're at the Duck Stadium. So I'll lean USC just based on our offensive game of late. But if USC wins, this one's going to be a shootout. I think that if Clovis can get, you know, put 35, 40 points on the board and we can hold Oregon to 1 or 2 points under us, we'll be okay. So I'll lean USC. Part of my love is being a fan. Part of it that Oregon struggles on the road, and I'll take the Trojans to win. I think it would have to be for sure a high-scoring game if the Trojan soldiers win this one.
Huh. All right. Interesting. Yeah, I think you're right, though, about that as far as the high-scoring game. And just a couple of games that kind of stand out, whether it's against the spread, whether I think they'll cover, whether it could go either way. We'd like to talk to the betting banter here. Notre Dame coming off a loss. Virginia Tech's not a bad club. They're sitting at 5-2. Notre Dame's at home. I think they're going to win, but they're favored by 17. It wouldn't shock me if that doesn't happen. Kansas State is going to visit the new juggernaut in Tornado Alley right in the middle of the country, Kansas. K-State on the road, 6-point favorite. It feels like they're going to be able to accomplish that, but the way Kansas is playing, especially at home, that could be a score fest, dude. That's kind of a random game. But just as far as just watching it, Miami and Florida State generally turns out to be a damn good game. Florida State is hosting Miami, so they're a 3.5-point favorite, which basically, you know, makes it a pick'em game. Which TCU club will show up? They're on the road against OK State, and OK State is favored by 3 points. So that is the home field, and basically that's it. Also, there's another one I'm looking at spread-wise. Virginia and North Carolina. I kind of feel like Virginia is going to bounce back off of their loss and win on the road. North Carolina is a 1.5-point favorite at home, so that kind of tells you where you're at. And which Colorado team will show up against UCLA, and which UCLA team will show up? They're a 6.5-point favorite at home. As far as a barn burner, BYU, yeah, I said it, BYU and Utah State are playing. Utah State is hosting, but they're only a 3.5-point favorite, so Vegas knows what I mean as far as that being a barn burner. Any other games you want to talk about as we wrap this thing up there, sir?
For a gambling pick, I always seem to love picking an over once a week. I will take over 71 in Oregon State, Arizona. Oregon State's defense is still pretty bad this year, but they're scoring like 30. It seems to me whenever I see them play about 30 to 33 points a game. And Arizona's going to score, so I'll gladly take the over 71 Oregon State, Arizona. What will happen when I bet on Kevin Sumlin? We'll never know. Besides that, no, man, you know, like you said, it seems to be a pretty chill week in regards to powerhouse teams, but that doesn't mean we can't have a very enjoyable show next Monday. You know, we've learned that too many times not to, oh, man, there's not great matchups. Well, now we have four or five incredible games that we get to talk about. So, I'm good to go, brother. I think we.
All right, not to interrupt you. Just to piggyback off your, I think that over is a good call, dude. It's like you said, it's 71 right now, but you have both defenses. The Arizona defense, I think they've played better teams, but they gave up 35 so far, and Oregon State is up 31.6. So yeah, I think you're right on that one, dude. That's going to be a score fest, no doubt about it. That's good. I'm with you on the over. I'm definitely with you on the over there. And you're right, they're averaging 31 points, Oregon State.
Yeah, I think that's a nice little setup of a game. Quickly, who do you think wins K-State Kansas? I know K-State's off of a huge upset win. Kansas is just continuing to try to prove people wrong. K-State's -6 at Kansas. If you had to pick, what's your gut say on that one, man, in the Kansas State KU matchup?
Well, it's a big rivalry, as we know, on the hard court.
Yep.
It's really hard not to think that, that Kansas State will go in there and grind it out, 55 over under. It's just something about Kansas, though, and maybe I'm just drinking the Les Miles Kool-Aid or in this case, eating the blades of grass, but I don't know. There's been, 29-24, they lose. They just beat Texas Tech 37-34. Texas Tech got a nice victory a little bit ago. They barely lost to Texas 50-48. It kind of, is there a letdown? Is there a letdown the next week? I'm going to go with K-State, but I could see them having to, 38-35 it, or maybe 28-24 or something like that. So, yeah, maybe they can win by 6+. That sounds so weird saying that when we're talking about Kansas Jayhawks, but I don't know. There's something about the combination of a letdown, and they are starting to move the wheels a little bit there in Kansas with Les Miles and his staff. So I'm still picking Kansas State, though, and I feel like they're going to cover, but that one I'd probably leave alone just because of, like I said, it kind of like which team is going to show up type thing.
Well, does that lead us to the comical part of our show?
Yes, it does, sir.
All right, well, last week when we had two teams playing each other who both had a combined two wins, we had UConn drop 56 on Marcus Camby. Rip Hamilton and Khalid Al-Amin were busting threes. They were on fire. You wouldn't know the difference. UConn's running back Kevin Monza, 19 carries of .64, 5 touchdowns. If you played Kevin Monza in your college football fantasy player of the week, that's huge points. I know college football players rack up yards, but 5 touchdowns from running back, they could not contain the man.
Now,
we're about to have a first, Chris. We've probably done, probably over 70 of these, and we've never gone to this conference for a head-to-head matchup. You know,
before we get there, though, are we 7-2?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Sorry. I had to just toot my horn.
Handing out money. The easy man would say take Akron, but Akron, we've taken them too much this year. So I'm going to two teams that rightfully deserve to be on this podcast and on the crappy pick of the week. But we're going to the SEC, Chris. I don't think we've ever done an SEC crappy pick of the week.
This is brand new, dude.
The Mississippi State Bulldogs are 1-4 in the SEC. The Arkansas Razorbacks are 0-5 in the SEC. Mississippi State's 3-5. Arkansas's 2-6. This honestly is a crappy matchup. Obviously, you have the Dak Prescott Bulldogs against the Allen brothers who used to be running quarterbacks. You know, there's obviously a lot of great players from both these schools, but for this year, this is a shit matchup. For once, Chris, we're going to the SEC land where it is called Razorback Stadium. You know, they love doing the, you know, chanting their Razorback hogs on. But, hey, this is rightfully so. We're making history. The crappy pick of the week, SEC, 3 o'clock kickoff. It is a 7-point spread. The Bulldogs are favored on the road. What is your gut telling you about this matchup, my friend?
This is legit, too, dude. This is not hating. This is legit a shitty matchup. And you could tell, because in Razorback Stadium, which they tend to fill up stadiums in the SEC regardless, just ask Tennessee, tickets as low as $17 to Vivid Seats. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Man almighty. Now, if you listen to, you know, according to ESPN's Football Power Index, they got this game a blowout. 74% they think Mississippi State's just going to come on in there and just run rapid all over the place. And, you know, I'm not seeing that, damn it. I'm just not seeing it, okay? We do have some garbage. You know, this is going to be a fun garbage game, though, because they're both over 20 points. So that helps as far as scoring. They're both over 30 points as far as defense. That helps in the opposite way. You know, Mississippi State. Man, this is a good one. You know what?
They lost to Tennessee 20-10. You cannot be a good team and lose to Tennessee by 10 points, brother. You can't. And Arkansas lost to San Jose. My Lord.
We were just talking about them.
Yeah.
San Diego. I thought San Diego, San Jose. Dude, San Jose beat them. Oh, my gosh, dude. Okay. I'm lost. But you know what? The thing that I remember about this year is home field advantage. And I'm going Big Country Williamson for Arkansas and Scotty Thurman on the outside with this Rainbow 3. For those who know what I'm talking about, or just look it up, Arkansas-Duke National Championships game, Duke had Grant Hill. It's the only time I put money on the Blue Devils in the 90s. And they burn me with Scotty Thurman's, like, arc of a three-point shot. I'm going with Arkansas at home to get it done. We don't care about the Bulldogs. It's Razorbacks, and it's hog time. Is that what they call it, hog time? We're calling it hog time.
Yeah, or they chant, like, the pig suey when they're in, like, the SEC basketball games at home. I mean, they really have an incredible crowd. So you're right, it is sad that their tickets are costing them about as much as we pay for, like, the UConn Massachusetts games. You know, that's about the price range, dear Lord. But yeah, it's SEC history. You know, but as Chris said, this is rightfully so. This is not like, oh, I'm ripping SEC. These teams are having shit years. Arkansas is 0-5 in conference. I think they've won like two of their past 17 SEC games, which is hard to imagine for a program that's normally pretty well respected, you would say. So, to end on the SEC note, we're looking forward to another great week. Next week's show is breaking down LSU-Bama, which is just going to be fun. They both get a bye week. Hopefully, if you're a sports fan, that gives time for Tua to be healthy. It's going to be Tua against Joe Burrow. Obviously, if you're an LSU fan, you probably want Tua to take a few more weeks off. But until then, thanks as always for listening to our podcast. Chris and I truly appreciate it. If you ever do want to call in and rant about your team, we will take phone calls. It's normally always about Monday night at 6 to 7 o'clock Central Time. So thanks for the support. We love it. Have a safe week with your family. The boys are out tonight. Peace.